You know, when you stop and think about it, most anything can be used for good or bad, right? A little water in a garden helps all the plants to grow, but too much and all the plants will die. Social media is a great place to share pictures of babies and celebrations and great information, but it's also a place for a lot of not so great stuff as well. And you know, I'm a big space guy, and rockets pointed towards space are really, really great, but rockets pointed towards other countries, well, not so much. Just as all these things can be used for less than good reasons, the same can be said for our words and our speech. For example, if you shout the word fire at a campfire when you're getting ready to make s'mores, people get excited, they get happy. But if you shout that same word in a crowded movie theater, you get a very, very different response. Or think about sarcasm and how we can give sort of a rough edge to otherwise innocent words. For instance, I can say, I'd love to help with your project. Or you could say, oh, I'd love to help with your project. Decidedly different takes. And think about the words that we speak to ourselves as well as others. As we know, words of affirmation, encouragement, and respect can make people feel oh so good. But words that belittle and condemn can make people feel oh so small as well. I believe that more than anything else, words have the ability to do the most good or bad in our world because of how often we use them each and every day. And with that in mind, we have to stop occasionally and ask ourselves if we're filling our world with life-giving words that lead to hope, peace, joy, and love, or we have to ask ourselves if we're filling it with mean-spirited speech which undermines the worth of people made in God's image. Those are the kind of questions we're going to be exploring throughout our October sermon series, The Power of Words. And to help us understand their true power, we're going to begin our time of reflection today by turning to God's holy word and reading Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn there now, or you can just hang tight and watch it here on the screen in just a moment. But we will be in Ezekiel 37, beginning in verse 1. Ezekiel writes, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'Sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I look, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So as we dive into this holy vision out of Ezekiel 37, it's important to begin by adding some words of context to what we've just read. Now, Ezekiel was a priest in the holy temple of Jerusalem when the city was conquered by the Babylonians in 597 BC. At this time, thousands of Jews, including Ezekiel, were taken from their homes and exiled away in Babylon. Now, if you read the Old Testament enough times, you get this sense of exile over and over and over again. They can't get it off of their minds. But we really cannot underscore the impact of this exile. Because for these people, at this time, in this place, the loss of Jerusalem and the temple was tantamount to the loss of their faith. They found themselves as strangers in a strange place and wondered aloud whether God would ever lead them back home. Now, God would, of course, do just that. But before that homecoming could occur, there had to be a time of reckoning, repentance, and preparation. And to help in this task, God used prophets to speak to his people, prophets like Ezekiel. In 592, Ezekiel received his prophetic call from God and shared holy visions with those in exile. Now, some of those visions clarified the sins of the people and led them to repent. Others comforted them amidst the pain of their exile and abandonment. But others, such as this vision here in Ezekiel 37, they were visions of hope and visions of renewal. Now keep in mind this description of dry bones reforming flesh and skin and coming back to life. It's a vision. It didn't really happen. It is, however, a very powerful image used to describe what God was doing among the dejected and defeated people of Israel. As exiles who suffered a great defeat and been driven from their homes, many of them felt worthless. They had no hope. They had no future. And for some cases, they believed that they'd be better off dead. God's vision here in Ezekiel 37 sought to remedy their condition. Being led into the middle of a valley full of dry bones, God asked Ezekiel if these bones can live. And realizing that he nor anybody else was capable of doing such a thing, Ezekiel responds by saying, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." In this statement, Ezekiel recognizes God for who he is and acknowledges that if these bones are to live once more, it's going to take God's power to achieve it. Now, to bring life and hope to death and despair would require God's miraculous power, of course, but how exactly would he do it? Would God call down an army of angels from heaven, or would he magnificently touch each bone with the power of his hand, with his mere physical touch? You know, in church, we talk and sing all the time about these marvelous, wonderful, amazing acts of God. And because we do, a lot of times we expect everything that God does for us to be that amazing, marvelous, and magnificent as well. But as we're reminded time and time again through the witness of Scripture, our expectations and God's reality are often two different things. Because quite frankly, God doesn't need to meet our expectations in order for him to prove his power to us. Sometimes all God needs to do is speak. And that's enough. And that's just what he chooses to do here in Ezekiel 37. In the middle of this valley, God tells Ezekiel to speak these words to the dry bones before him. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Ezekiel calls these bones to attention in order to hear what God has to say. And what God has to say is this. come alive. Through Ezekiel, God's words are commanding the impossible. They've commanded that the dead, dusty, dry bones are to come back to life. And amazingly, shockingly, they start to do just that. These bones hear the word of the Lord, and they respond. Bone to bone, flesh to bone, skin to flesh. Soon enough, we arrive at this moment of truth, the moment of truth which determines whether God is truly capable of doing the impossible and the extraordinary. Here in verses 9 through 10, we're here. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. From nothing to something, from death to life, from despair to hope, God has done the impossible. And he's done so by demonstrating the power of his voice and the impact of his words. As this holy vision draws to an end, God speaks plainly with Ezekiel and tells him what this all really means. Listen again to verses 11 through 14. "Then God said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone and we are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." Ezekiel ministered to a hopeless people who'd endured a traumatic defeat and a life-altering exile. For years, they'd been defined by their loss and their pain. And when this is all you know, it's easy for those words to define who you are and how you view the world around you. In this moment of time, in this place for these people, the Israelites, what they needed most were new words to live by. And that's exactly what Ezekiel provided on God's behalf. In spite of everything they'd endured, God's presence, promises, and power were still with them. And if they just cast aside the words that had defined their past and redefined their lives by the future hope laid out in this vision, they could once again experience hope, life, and abundant faith once more. But they had to believe. They had to listen. They had to breathe out their doubts and breathe in the Spirit of God. From forgotten to forsaken, to remembered and renewed. That's what God's people experienced on the day that Ezekiel shared this holy vision with them. No one knew when their exile would be over, but their hope was now secured by the promises of God. The Israelites had understandably come close to abandoning their faith, but God had never, ever abandoned them. Even though he could have continued speaking words of judgment and condemnation against his people, God chose instead to offer words of consolation, affirmation, and hope. In case you don't recognize it, that's mercy, grace, and love in action right there. While these people deserved what they'd gotten, God didn't want their punishment to ultimately define who they were. Dry bones were not their destiny. It was time for God's people to experience new hope, new life, and a renewed faithfulness. Now, as we continue to reflect on this powerful vision, There's three very simple lessons we need to take away as it relates to words and their ability to change how we see others, ourselves, and God. And the first lesson is this. Words have power. Now, they shape our beliefs, they drive our behavior, and they ultimately create our world as we know it. The words we read, the words we speak, and the words we hear, they impact just about everything about us, don't they? Well, as we see in Ezekiel 37, words were able to bring God's people from a place of hopelessness to hopefulness. Words were able to confront, challenge, and inspire God's people to turn their sorrow into joy and their pain into purpose. But it wasn't just the words, was it? It was the intention, desire, and motivation behind those words that made all the difference for God's people. God spoke these words through Ezekiel to rescue his people from spiritual darkness and to give them the hope to keep on going. When we turn to the pages of Scripture and read God's word, that's what we receive too. We receive a power that can change us from the inside out. Because all these words in Scripture that challenge us, comfort us, and give us hope, they're alive. They're alive. Now, the Greek word teopneustos is the Greek word that the Apostle Paul comes up with to express the sacred nature of Scripture. And it's a very difficult sounding word to basically describe a very simple truth. And that Scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. Friends, God breathed these words into existence for our benefit, so that we might know who He is, what He's like, and who we can be in Him. Knowing this helps us to receive God's Word with a grateful and thankful heart, because what we receive is always meant to help us, not harm us. And that leads us to our second lesson from today's scripture. We're defined by the words we speak and the words spoken to us. Now, we've already established that words have power, but it's how we use these words that determines exactly what kind of power they have. In Ezekiel 37, God chose to speak words intended for the good of his people, and because they were received as such, they fostered new hope, new life, and renewed faithfulness. What impact are you making with the words you speak, though? What about the impact of the words spoken to you? As an example, just think about the words spoken to children during their youngest, most formative years. When kids constantly receive words of affirmation, encouragement, and love, what do you think will result from that? Chances are those kids will behave better, learn better, and thrive in all sorts of ways. But what about the kids who are on the receiving end of abusive and negative language from family, friends, and teachers? Chances are many of those kids are going to have a hard life ahead of them, unfortunately. The words we speak and the words spoken to us, they take root in all sorts of ways. And Proverbs 16:24 brings this truth to light where it says this: gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Whatever we say to the people in our lives, they can feel it deep down in their bones. Now think about that. Think about the blessing or burden that a single word can bring to the people that you're speaking with. We're defined by the words we speak, as well as the words spoken to us. They define and shape our lives in ways we can't begin to comprehend. And as Christians, we need to be mindful of the words we speak and the impact that they're having on others. But at the same time, we can't allow other people to hurt us with their untrue and mean-spirited words as they seek to define who we are as well. Because in spite of what others might say, you are loved, you are worthy, and you are deserving of all the kindness that this cruel world has to offer. because you, my friends, are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of a good and gracious God. That leads us to our third and final lesson from Ezekiel 37. We may not have prophecies to speak, but we all have words of life to share. You know, admittedly, sometimes it's hard to read the Old Testament and figure out what it's saying to us today. After all, I don't think any of us are called to prophesy and preach quite like Ezekiel did right here. But you know, we all have words to share, and it's important that we share them. Specifically, we have words of life which Christ has spoken to us and which we, in turn, should share with others. Words of hope. Words of love, words which lead people closer to Christ and not push them further away. You know, Ezekiel didn't have to share what God spoke to him with the Israelites. Ezekiel could have chosen to keep it to himself. He could have decided that these people needed more time to think about their sins before they were ready to receive this hope. But that's not what Ezekiel did. Instead, Ezekiel freely and openly shared God's hope with others, despite how he may have felt about them or their plight. He spoke to the dry bones, and he called them back to life. Friends, what are you saying to the dry bones in your valley? Are you calling them back to life, or are you telling them to disappear down into the dirt? We haven't been created and called to speak words of judgment against one another, have we? Rather, we've been made in the image of a good and gracious God to speak words of life into the lives of others, to tell of the hope and peace that's found in Christ alone. So as we close, what are you saying to the dry bones in your valley? Are you calling them back to life? Or are you keeping them down in the dirt? Let's remember today and always that words do have power. And what we say and how we say it can either lead people closer to Jesus or push them further away. Friends, don't let your words be something that stands in the way of others experiencing hope, peace, joy, and love. Rather, let your words be an invitation for them to breathe in the goodness of God and experience all that His blessings have to offer. Would you pray with me? God, we are grateful that You have chosen time and time again to speak words of life into our world, words meant for our better and not our harm. And God, as we reflect on the power of those words today, Lord, keep us mindful of the impact that we're making in our world. And whether we are pushing leading people closer to You or pushing them further away by the words we choose to speak. And Lord, as we also think about the words spoken to us, help us to take all those negative and hurtful and untrue things that people might say about us and help us to not let those words define who You say that we are. Help us to be firmly rooted in Your love for us that we might claim and hold on to that identity most of all. So that in spite of whatever condition we may be in spite of wherever we may find ourselves, we can be Your faithful servants in that valley as well.